A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 15, 2000, in the series The Heart of the Matter, entitled An Intentional Commitment, A Matter of Heart. The text for this sermon is 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 9. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
A couple of weeks ago, I suggested to you that we had started back nearly 30 years ago with a new name in order to create a new image that indeed has become an alternative to church as usual. And I suggested to you that the heart of the matter was that freedom that we had to chart a new course, because as Paul said in another place, all things are yours. Life, death, past, present, future, Peter, Paul, Apollos, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God, so you're free. And then last week I suggested that what really matters is to be aware and to be intentional. And I reminded you about an inaugural text, March 14, 1971, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And as a people, we began a pilgrimage with a vision, very intentional, very self-conscious. And over the years, we followed that vision. We named ourselves according to that vision. We initiated here the experience of an openness and a graciousness that was really groundbreaking at the time. Eventually, we came to write our identity statement, being very clear about who we were and who we were trying to become. And by the grace of God, we have. We've named ourselves, we created a new image, we created an alternative to church as usual, and it's been very good. It's been a good place to be, and this has been a ministry that has touched many lives. With intentionality and awareness, we have lived according to a vision, and when that vision was tested, we stood firm, and we now have emerged at this point where we are able to reimagine the church in a fresh way with a new possibility as never before. And we've reimagined the church in many respects. We've translated the Christian tradition into a contemporary idiom. We have acted intentionally on our vision, and we have included all and excluded none. We have acknowledged the legitimacy of other traditions and have recognized ourselves as a part of a greater vision and the work of God throughout the whole human family. But the heart of the matter is that this, what I would say, has been a groundbreaking and pioneering ministry, is a ministry that needs to be supported. And the one thing that we've not done here is we've not thought through how to secure the financial support for a ministry like this. And God knows it's necessary to think it through, because the old ways don't work for us. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, but I've got to remind you again. The old methods simply don't work here. For one thing, we don't think that we're the only game in town. We know we're not for everybody. The whole kingdom of God doesn't depend upon whether or not Christ's community prospers and continues. I have no great absolutes to declare to you, and I refuse to use all the bells and whistles and manipulate you emotionally, although I have a clue or two as to how that could be done. We've been an honest and straightforward ministry here, and I simply will not do it any other way, and I don't think this congregation at this point really would be susceptible to that kind of coercion, sprinkled with guilt, emotional manipulation and the absolute claims as though everything depended on whether or not we continued. We've not rethought how a place like this can be financially supported. And so we've gone along with the old way. There was kind of always an aura about Christian giving. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is giving. And this thing has to be so strictly confidential. And so Christian giving contributions have been, they still arise out of an old era, a former day, when the church had a consistent population that was there every Sunday that made contributions to the offering plate in the morning and in the evening, and had a program that was pretty much steady and predictable. And of course, we've blown all that apart. And so how does a place like this, with people that are globe-trotting, that are gone a lot, and when they're here, know they don't have to be here if they've got something better to do, know there'll be no frowns on the face when they arrive after being gone for 6 weeks or 6 months, received graciously once again with an embrace, how does a place like this support itself? Well, we've identified ourselves, we've named ourselves, we've pioneered, and I think we've set quite a record over 30 years. But the thing we haven't done is to find out how a reimagined spiritual community or religious center or Christian congregation can gain its financial support. This summer I wrote you a letter of uncommon concern because I noted that after 6 months in that regular pledge line, we were about 90,000 behind last year for no reason that was easily ascertainable. And there was some response to that, and we sort of limped through the summer. But we're at a point now where we've got about 3 months to go and we need to get almost half of our budget. And so the situation is serious in terms of our financial viability. There are certainly reasons for that, but nonetheless, what we're saying to you today is that we have to find a better way to do it. And I want to suggest to you today that we can't any longer depend upon what comes in the Sunday offering or what people now and again will send in. The country club doesn't work that way. There are dues. The schools aren't supported that way. There are summer and winter taxes. The Y, if you go there, you buy a membership. And it's probably time as a congregation that we rethink this whole thing and recognize that we too have to sell memberships. Now, you could be a member of this club, because this is not an ordinary church, is it? I mean, we're not in the salvation business. It's not as though that if we don't exist, somebody's going to be lost eternally. We are a rather different, reimagined spiritual community. We're a religious center. We're a community that provides, I think, excellent worship opportunities, the best, absolutely the best nurturing possibility for children and for youth. We're a place where deep human bonds are formed in relationship, and we're a place that practices compassion and hands-on mission, ministry in our community. Do you want to be a part of that? If you want to be a part of that, obviously, you got to pay up. Probably it's time that we forget all the piety surrounding the appeal for Christian giving. You know, I gave up all the old methods. I can't do those anymore. I'd like to talk to you heart to heart about a radical suggestion, which I think is probably consistent with where this community has come. Could we talk? Could I expect a mature, responsible response from a community like this? If it's not going to be through bells and whistles and guilt and coercion and emotional manipulation, would you acknowledge the fact that the school systems couldn't exist without taxes? Police, fire, all of that kind of stuff couldn't exist without our taxes. The national government, bless their little pea-picking hearts, couldn't exist without our taxes. You can't belong to the Y, as I said, without that. You can't belong to the country club without that. Why should anyone think that we can have a congregation with its vision and its innovative ministry and its creative life without the same kind of commitment? Isn't it time that we simply grow up and admit it? Instead of these obsequious appeals, instead of pastors being kept people, having to tiptoe around folks, why don't we simply say it like it is? Folks, to be a member of this community, and if you're not, you're not lost eternally. If you're not, we love you anyway. It's not a matter of, this place is not for everybody. But if this place is for you, and of course, the problem with preaching to the congregation is you're always preaching to the choir. I remember as a kid having to go to Sunday night services, and it was a slim crowd, and the minister got a long face, and he bawled out the poor people who came to the evening service because of all the people that weren't there. But let me just tell you how it is. For example, if you're on the team and you have dreams and visions and you sit there but you say, gee, it'd be great to do that, but you know, we really can't do that. Besides that, you not only can't plan creatively, but you get anxious about it. It's really not fun. And then you ask some of your people to become a part of the operations council, for example. And they sit there, and they're really excellent people, and they're responsible people, and they say, what should we do? None of you would run your own books at home or your business the way we run this place. I mean, if they were responsible and did what they really ought to do, they ought to start doing some radical surgery. I mean, we can save $100 here and $1,000 there. I turn out lights all around this place. I got that from my father. He always went around turning off lights. In his latter years at Third Reformed Kalamazoo, they assigned somebody to him between church and Sunday school because one time he actually got into the whole electrical box and shut down the organ. But you know, it's a matter of nickels and dimes, and that won't do it. Now, if you say, look, we are not about a ministry of the dimension that you all have been envisioning. We can hear that. And the kingdom of God won't go down the tubes. We can hear that. But we've got to hear from you. We've got to know whether or not this is just a pipe dream that we have. Whether or not a religious community, a spiritual body, a congregation can exist without guilt and coercion and emotional manipulation and bells and whistles and constant pleading. I know how to do that. I think the second year I was back here on an Easter Sunday without talking to anybody, I popped on the congregation the fact that I wanted a $20,000 contribution like that right now as a sign, believing in the vision. And we got it. And sometimes it's fun to do those special things, and we can still do those special things. There'll be a Thanksgiving when you can support all of the mission outreach of this congregation. You can even designate if you want to. But you see, it's really, something's out of sync when a group has to sit around the table in the operations council and has to say, what are we going to do? We get about 60% of the budget pledged, and the rest of it's as able. As able? Yeah. So about this time of the year, somebody says to me, well, you know, What about it? I said, I don't know. Will this year be like every other year? I think so, unless the stock market falls. How do we know? Last week in Perspectives, the question was raised, is there any way to elect a president? Let me phrase a question. Is this any way to run a congregation? No. The fact that we have to take in over $1 million a year and kind of sit here and bite our fingernails and wonder if it's going to happen, it's no way to do it. It's not fun. I often say if I ever abruptly retire, it'll be at this time of the year, and I say, I don't want to go through one more of those. Now, why? We're mature. We're friends. We got a good thing here. Oh, I know. Somebody always knows why we're struggling. And there are criticisms, some legitimate, some not so legitimate. We're not perfect. We're probably not even the best there is, but we're pretty good. This has been an honest thing. It's been an authentic thing. It's helped a lot of people. I believe in it so passionately with all my heart. But I think, and I haven't talked to anybody about this, not the team, not the operations council, not the board of trustees, but I think it's time that you begin to get monthly bills. And you can put it on your Visa card, like Peter said, or you can have the bank account debited, but, you know, I mean, what if you didn't get your paycheck every other week or every once a month? It's tough to do business that way. And again, it's just not fun. So, we've got to think about it. I should probably take 100 of you and say, let's form some task forces and wrestle with this question. How can we do it? Because I really believe there's a reservoir of love for this place. I really believe that the biggest problem is a lack of awareness and a lack of attention. But we've got to do something differently. This is a different kind of religious community. It's going to demand a different way of being supported. And in order for the heart of the matter to come to realization, we've got to go to the heart of the matter. Now, I think this is what Paul was saying to the people in Corinth. He said, look, these other folks have done a really good job. Now, I could say to you, our goal's not unrealistic. I suspect that Christ Community's giving is per capita the least, right at the bottom of the Tri-Cities. And I suspect the per capita income is toward the top. What? I mean, it's not like we're asking for some unrealistic kind of thing. I am getting so old, I hear about congregations breaking ground for $4 million, $6 million, $3 million buildings or additions, and I think, dear God, I am getting old. I couldn't do that anymore. But what may have to happen is that you'll have to get some young whippersnapper in here like I was 30 years ago. That'll cost you. That'll cost you. Now it's still a matter, it's kind of radical and it sounds crass and it sounds kind of business-like, but I gotta tell you, it's still a matter of the heart. Like Paul said, over there in Macedonia, they're doing a good job, and you Corinthians, I want to encourage you, likewise, to do like they did, because they first gave themselves, and then they gave with joy, even out of their poverty and affliction. And then he said, this is not a command. It's a test of your love. And you know me well enough to know that Here there's no law and there's no command. But it is a test of your love. I'd like to change the word love and say value. It's a test of what you value. Do you value this kind of a place? This kind of a place that has paid its dues, that has broken ground, that has set people free, that has been a banner of grace, a source of love, a free-spirited, open-hearted, happy bunch of party hacks once a year. It's a test of your valuing. Bob, bring that thing up for me. You think this isn't simple to do? I want to tell you, it's a piece of cake. And what we need is simply everybody to get on board. Now, I haven't talked to anybody about this either. But if we had 6 people at 25,000, if we had 5 at 20,000, and I think I could find those 11 people. If we had 20 at 10, there's no question we can do that. And 34 at 5, you'd have about half your budget. And frankly, these people are pretty much doing it. You know the secret? The secret is the people who think their little bit doesn't matter. You know where half your budget is? From 200 people that don't give us $2,500 a year, from 300 people that don't give us $1,200 a year, that's $100 a month. I can't even buy my pizza for that. And 200 people for $600 a month. You know what that'd be? That'd be $1,000,006. You know what we could do with that? We could fill our budget. We could pay off a certain denomination that still holds us with extortion money, $280,000. We'd have another $100,000 to play with. I mean, it's simple. We could do it. See this little heart? Talk to me. You got a stringent criticism? Tell me. I can handle it. I've heard him before. And I'll listen to it. Talk to me. What gift will you bring? What talent will you share? What time will you offer? What dollars will you... Put down your category. Give it to me. Put it in the offering plate. Hand it to me at the door. Let's really become a mature body, reflecting in our giving what we reflect in every other aspect of our lives. Let's get this job done. We are limping along, and it's ridiculous, really. And so the heart of the matter is the degree to which you love and value what we share together. Talk to me. Give me your heart.